Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host, and good to see you, Daniel.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing well, and we need to do a follow-up
from
yesterday's program. They're still in the news about what's going on with Jamal Khashoggi and figuring out what's all happened. We still don't know. Nobody knows exactly what happened. We don't know whether he's been killed or kidnapped, but most people suspect he's probably been killed. But there's been some ramifications from this. You know, the president has spoken out twice about this, hinted what his position is. 22 senators sent a letter to the administration wanting to look into this, and Rand did his own letter and his own request, and he was involved that as well. But this certainly is a big issue. Now, the title of our program today is, you know, the big news is, boy, you know, if the Saudis did this and murdered this guy, that is a human rights violation, and this is horrendous, which it would be if they did it. But nobody is even talking about the real problem over there, and that is what the Saudis are doing to the Yemenis, say, you know, in the Yemen war, and also the fact that we're partners in that and we provide that. So I think they're missing the point and they're distracting from it. The president's first reaction was when he supposedly just heard about it, we need to get to the bottom of this. Then later on, he says, when the sanctions came on, we need to break agreements with the Saudis and not send them their weapons. He said, hey, wait a minute, we can't go too fast here. We have to sort of look at this. So this is, it's being sorted out, but it does give us an opportunity to talk about what we really should be doing and not being lost in one particular issue, which would be the assassination or murder of this one individual, which of course is very important, but that that isn't the most significant thing. It is whether or not we should be there, whether or not we should be the policemen of the world, whether we should be a very, very close ally, which has been motivated for various reasons, and one in particular that's been around for a long time, is the alliance with the Saudis against the Iranians. Yeah. And that's always back there. But this has put a new light on it. And of course, there's also, we want to talk a little bit about it, is the fact that our intelligence agency probably knew about this. And under the more, a little bit more than a gentleman's agreement, internationally, you're supposed to, you know, if we're working with all other countries, we're supposed to report and say, hey, look, somebody's going to murder you. You better be careful. But that didn't happen. So there's still a lot of questions, but we do have a little bit more information. But, of course, one thing we want to touch on today is looking at the most important part of this. And it is involved with us strongly supporting the Saudis in the war in Yemen. That is the most important thing. And close to that would be supporting the Saudis over the Iranians.
Yeah, the thing about this whole thing is very complicated. I don't think anyone, I know that nobody except whoever's, you know, exactly involved knows what's happening. There are a lot of cross competing political agendas on this in Washington and worldwide for various numbers of reasons. And I'm very suspicious of anything that's being reported right now. But certainly this gives President Trump a black eye. His first trip overseas, if you remember, was straight to Saudi Arabia. He did that weird thing with the glowing globe and we're going to fight terrorism together. The president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is reported to be very close to the 33-year-old Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who really the fingers are pointing to as being involved in this. You know, he's 33, ultimate power, super powerful. He's already put a lot of his own family in jail, or he had him under house arrest, so he's not afraid to flex his muscles. It looks like he may be involved, but there are so many competing factions here that even trying to unraveling it is just simply speculation. But there are a few things, as you've suggested in the opening, that we can look at and should look at.
You know, back when the president made that first trip to Saudi Arabia, Now they say it. They may have said it back then, but I don't recall it, that he made on that first trip, within just weeks of being in office, the promise of billions of dollars worth of weapons being sent to Saudi Arabia. But, you know, the headline dealing with that right now about what he's saying after he said, well, we should look into it. But here's a headline that says, this is on Zero Hedge, Trump says blocking Saudi arms sale would be, quote, hurting us when asked about Khashoggi.
Yeah.
So the military-industrial complex is alive and well, and that prevails. There's a pretense about human rights, but quite frankly, I don't think they have much concern, because there would be more concern for the starvation and the hundreds of thousands of people dying, in Yemen.
And that reminds me, if you remember the interview with Wolf Blitzer and Senator Paul, when Senator Paul, this has been a crusade of Senator Paul's for a while. This is nothing new for him, stopping the U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia. And it was several months ago, maybe a year ago even, where he was on with Wolf, and the senator said, we should stop selling them all these weapons. They're using it to kill civilians. And Wolf essentially said, what are you talking about? This is jobs. We need jobs, you know. Aren't you concerned about losing jobs?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But there's, quite a few factions involved. Israel's involved, in this whole effort. But also what is reflected in the president's comments is a Keynesian attitude.
Yeah.
It's good for jobs, and that's that military Keynesianism. And sometimes I think they build weapons, not with the idea that we want to go and start a war and kill people. They just want to make an excuse to build weapons. And I think you notice there's something just happened on one of the most important weapons we've built in a long time, the F-35. It's not working out so well.
Yeah, even just as we were preparing the show, there was a thing came out, global universal shutdown of the F-35s. There's another problem with a fuel pump or a fuel thing or something. So all grounded right now, the F-35. So talk about a boondoggle. But, back to the letter, because this is important. And this is how, I start out talking about competing political agendas, because everyone is jockeying. It's Washington. Everyone's jockeying for power. And so the Senate letter that you mentioned earlier, that was sent by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Corker, and everybody but Rand on the Foreign Relations Committee signed it. And you say, oh, no, this doesn't make sense, because he's been very hard on Saudi. But there is a very good reason why he didn't sign it that we have to go into, because this has to do with the purpose of the letter. Less about getting to the bottom of this, more about invoking the global Magnitsky law, which is a horrible piece of legislation. In fact, we have a tweet from Senator Paul about the letter, if we can put it up. I think it makes a good point. Corker was talking about Khashoggi and how he's raised the importance of finding out what's going on. And Senator Paul points out, I'm glad to see others are coming to see the abuses of the Saudi regime. Unfortunately, that's not enough. We sell billions of weapons to them and assist with their war in Yemen. I'm hoping Senator Corker and others will now join me in halting arms sales and military support. So what they're trying to do, what Corker and them are trying to do, is the global Magnitsky thing. Okay, and now this is a law passed, in really dubious circumstances. Essentially what it does is it requires the president to conduct an investigation. It's triggered by a Senate letter which was sent. It triggers a required investigation into whether a foreign person is responsible for extrajudicial killing or other gross human rights violations against someone else. So you forget global Magnitsky. It's global We Are the Policemen of the World Act is what it is. And Senator Paul was right to reject this approach. But it does require the president. This is the craziest part, Dr. Paul. It requires the president to investigate and report back to the Senate in 120 days, as if Trump is going to go out there and figure out what's going on with this thing thousands of miles away. The whole concept is bizarre.
It enhances something that we always detest. And even George W. Bush, when he was running for president in the year 2000, he said, we should not be the policemen of the world. Now, what you're talking about is this is emphasizing the necessity, the importance of us being the policemen of the world and making things worse, rather than the approach that we have followed so long, and that is just stay out of that mess. If you want to trade and talk with these people, that's fine, but to make these deals that we're going to trade defense of your country for for cheap oil and go through all these different things that it's exactly opposite, because we become the policemen of the world. And yes, our military industrial complex makes money, but ultimately we get dragged into the war because, you know, even though we make money selling weapons, you know that we have to spend a lot of money on the military support we give for Saudis fighting that war in Yemen, because we're over there, and I'm sure that every bullet we send over there isn't paid for. You know, the weaponry that we send is used. So there's a lot of good points, and you made these points on that is going in the wrong direction, and that, of course, is the reason why they're missing the point. They're looking at the human rights violations, which is sort of out of our responsibility if it's somebody was killed. But and failing to concentrate on the point Rand is trying to make, and it's our foreign policy. You know, the war that's going on and all the killing, and it's not only there, it really opens up the discussion to where have we been for, especially in the last 17, 18 years.
And this is what you were saying when we were preparing for the show, and we were talking about the Magnitsky. The problem was caused by our interventionism, and so invoking this global Magnitsky, instead of saying, well, we need to disengage because we're causing a mess, we need to do even more. And one of the effects will be of the global Magnitsky if the president investigates it and gets out his, you know, microscope and finds out that the Saudis were involved, is we're going to have to, guess what, impose sanctions.
Yeah,
it always comes back to the same thing.
You know, there's one item that I wanted to bring up because, you know, what if it turns out that the fact that we knew it was happening, we had the information, our intelligence services supposedly knew what was happening, and under the rules, we're supposed to report that. But if we didn't do that, which people are implying, do we become an accomplice? Are we an accomplice in part of this? Well, who's going to investigate us? Who's going to put the sanctions on us? So that gets the silliness of this policeman of the world. When we punish other people for a lot of things, you know, for influence in elections, we're the worst country in the world for influence in other elections, and yet we get pretty huffy about you know, any other country doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We have to investigate ourselves and sanction ourselves. The global Magnitsky. But, you know, I think that what's happening here are competing agendas. I think, you know, talk about the dialectics. I don't think there is any chance of the U.S. disengaging from Saudi Arabia. I think a lot of this is for show, because there's too much money spent lobbying Washington. There's too much money spent on military equipment. So this is a kind of maybe it's a palace coup, maybe it's something against MBS, the young crown prince, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But I think a lot of this is a kabuki show, because Washington's not about to get a divorce from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and matter of fact, it does serve that interest. You know, if the Congress, senators and congressmen didn't want to do this, they could have stopped this a long time ago. But here's an issue where they can bash Saudi Arabia and get points for that because they're bad people and they're causing trouble. But it has nothing to do where the about the real problem, and the real problem are these alliances that we have, you know, with so many countries and getting us involved in these wars. So it is something that makes it more difficult. We don't have today. We just can't talk about non-intervention, mind our own business, coming home, because they're not interested in that. They're not even looking at it. They're looking at this one incident of a murder, most likely a murder, a killing, assassination, and having a little bit of confusion. And it's going to go on for a couple days, a week or two. Probably nobody is going to suffer international punishments for this. They're not going to put sanctions on Saudi Arabia. Are they going to block oil coming out of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think they're going to do that. We paid for that oil, and we're going to get it, you know.
And this, you know, the whole thing, this is one journalist, okay, it's bad. If what they say happened to him happened, it's obviously it's bad. But this is a member of the elite, this journalist, who was taken from a very prominent, wealthy family. He's in with the Washington Post. All the neocons are defending him. So all of a sudden, the tension is on Saudi Arabia because one elite journalist, who everyone says he's a critic of Saudi Arabia, he wasn't a critic of Saudi Arabia. He was in favor of the Yemen war. He's in favor of the Saudi involvement in Syria. So this is, if this is a critic, you know, it's a mild one at most. So here's one journalist who was disappeared or whatever happened, and everyone is having a fit over it. What about the years of Saudi slaughter in Yemen, as you point out? What about the Saudi involvement in 9/11, as we know, thanks to our friends who wanted to declassify these pages? What about the Saudi involvement in helping radical jihadists in Syria? Everyone yawns, so it's just, I think it says something.
And yet, another country which is far from perfect, as we are, the Iranians are considered, the publicity is that they are the worst, the very worst in spreading terrorism around the world. And then when we see what the Saudis have been doing and we're such buddies with them, it is a bit hypocritical. It's a shame that the American people get conditioned. So either they don't care or they don't understand or they believe what the government tells them that we need to do this. Otherwise, the price of oil is going to go up, you know. So it's one of these things that propaganda is very, very important to keep the people in check and make sure that people don't get annoyed with this. I guess if we were drafting young Americans and sending them over there into those fields on the Saudi Peninsula, maybe it would be different. But right now, the American people really don't care a whole lot, and this distraction is important. But of course, for us, it's most important because it is further distraction from the things that they want to be talking about, you know, and why this alliance that we have with Saudi Arabia makes no sense.
You know, you mentioned earlier about the Magnitsky and requiring an investigation if there's a gross human rights violation. But remember when that bus was hit by the Saudis in Yemen that killed all those kids, 40 kids, I think. They found the rocket. They found, you know, the casing, and it said made in America. I mean, it was the serial number and everything. So when you talk about we're over here saying that we have the right to investigate everyone else, well, our signature is right on that. So I would just close by saying there are a lot of reasons to break with the Saudis, to disengage this kind of unholy marriage we have with the Saudis, Yemen, 9/11, involvement in terrorism. But the most important one is it is simply in our national interest to not have such an entangling alliance.
Very good. And the argument we make continuously is that non-intervention is so much better than this intervention. So if any of you have a little bit of influence or contact and want to talk to your senators, try to help educate them and tell them that there's much more to this than this murder, and that it's the foreign policy that's important, it's the war that's going on, it's the military-industrial complex, it's picking and choosing bad guys that and the good guys and not sorting it out very well, because we ought to be trying to be friends and trade with people throughout the world. But when it comes to alliances that involves war, we should be much more cautious. And that's what this incident points out. And this is going to be around for a while, but I suspect that maybe in a week or so, there won't be much talk about it. Policy won't change. There will be, no big penalties. And unfortunately, if there is some penalties, it might be fluff and it might be just further distraction from us talking about the real issue. And that is our support to Saudi Arabia for fighting this senseless evil war against Yemen. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.